Good afternoon. I had a wonderful lunch, I'm sure you all did. The conversation at our table made me think I was in grade school again. I almost learned how to put Fred the gummy worm into a lifesaver, but I still haven't learned that lesson yet. And then Mason decided he was going to change the subject completely. He was talking that he had to go burn off some calories after this lunch. Made me think I was Goliath. I was skinny once. Then I got married. Which is part of what I'm going to be speaking about a little bit today. This day represents one of the most anticipated events in the history of mankind, even though many don't know that. It's been the subject of countless books and film. It is a day we eagerly await because we know that we will join our elder brother, Jesus Christ, to bring peace and prosperity to a dying world. We look forward to being part of the wedding supper that will follow his return. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. Revelation 19, 5 through 9. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." But sadly, there will be those who are called to be part of that supper that did not prepare and make themselves ready. Lack of preparation will block them from taking part in the wedding ceremony that Christ has planned for his bride and the church of God upon his return. I've entitled this sermon, "Are You Prepared?" In Matthew 25, Christ gives us a parable that illustrates this situation. Let's review this parable today and learn some of the life and death principles. And yes, I'm speaking of the parable of the 10 virgins. Before we read the parable of the 10 virgins, it will be helpful to look at the ancient Jewish wedding customs, which differ from ours today on several points. First of all, the groom received all the glory and attention. The groom or the groom's parents are the ones that picked up the tab. The couple had little to say about the arrangements of the marriage, and the couple passed through four stages. The first stage was the engagement. While it's still children, fathers would arrange their marriage as if they were negotiating a business deal. Romance played no part. Marriage first, and then love. The next stage was the betrothal. When reaching marriageable age, somewhere between 12 and 18, a betrothal document was drawn up between the two families and signed. It included agreements concerning the dowries and gifts that the families would exchange. This contract could only be broken by death or divorce. This is the stage that Mary and Joseph were when Mary became pregnant with Jesus Christ. Then comes the ceremony. About a year later came the wedding day. Dressed like a prince, the bridegroom would lead his attendants at night to the bride's house, where she would be waiting for him in all her glory. Lending to the festivities was the fact that the bride did not know exactly when he would appear. Arriving with great fanfare, the groom would escort his princess through the city streets back to his home for the ceremony. Lit up by torches and accompanied by singers and dancers, the wedding procession was a spectacular event. There was another version of the ceremony as the bride, earlier that evening, leading an entourage of the bridesmaid to the groom's house, where she would wait for the husband-to-be to arrive a little bit later that night. The groom's torch-lit procession would arrive at the house and would be welcomed by the bride's attendants and ushered in for the ceremony and the feast. The next phase was the celebration. The wedding feast, or the wedding supper, followed after that, sometimes lasting 1 to 2 weeks. No rushing off to Niagara Falls for a honeymooner. That was how they did things then. So now let's take a look at the parable of the 10 virgins. If you turn with me to Matthew 25, Matthew 25, and we'll start in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom. The 10 virgins represent God's church, whom knows he is returning. Continuing on. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Wise. Just note Psalms 111 verse 10. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Some carefully prepare for his arrival, while others tragically fail to plan ahead. Why didn't the foolish virgins bring oil? Maybe they didn't want to mess with it, or figure somebody else would give them what they needed. Maybe they were busy calculating exactly when the bridegroom would arrive and didn't have time to get the oil. Or possibly they just didn't feel like worrying about the oil right now. Maybe figuring they had sufficient oil to get them to the arrival of the bridegroom. Whatever the reasons, they would eventually wish they had brought some. Continuing on in verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. As it happens, the bridegroom doesn't arrive when they expect, and they all fall asleep. Reading verses 6 through 10, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding, and the door was shut. A cry goes out at the arrival of the bridegroom. that is imminent. The virgins awake and they begin preparing their lamps, but the foolish discover that they aren't prepared. They don't have sufficient oil. They attempt to find oil on the streets, but in doing so, they miss the arrival of the bridegroom and are shut out of the wedding. Matthew 25, verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." The repetition of "Lord" indicates very strong emotion. They were scared. They were scared. Verse 13. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The Greek word for watch in this passage means to keep awake, be vigilant, be alert. This is a person who is always ready. An example would be the firefighters that are waiting in the firehouse. They sleep, they eat, they talk, they do their jobs, they play games, etc. But they're always ready for that alarm to go off at any moment. They are prepared at all times for the eventuality that there could be a fire. It's not enough to know the bridegroom's name or even acknowledge that he's coming. Even the foolish virgins do that. They were turned away not because they fell asleep. Now I know what happened before. Or because they weren't sincere. They were turned away because they weren't prepared when the bridegroom came. You turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, wickedness, iniquity.'" The example of the prudent, wise virgins gave the foolish virgins plenty of warning that they also needed oil. Yet they willfully neglected to prepare when they had the opportunity to. Ephesians 5, if you will turn with me to Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 18. Ephesians 5, 14. "Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.'" The instruction is very clear. The days prior to the return of Jesus Christ are getting shorter. We must redeem that time that we have and make good use of it now. We have been ready for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Are we ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared? I'd like to read a little story here to just illustrate a point. It's a story of Sarah and Ben. Hello? Hello, Sarah? Ben. Oh, Ben, is it really you? Yes, baby, it's me. I'm in New York. I'm coming home on the first train out of here. The colonel told us that we shouldn't be more than 2 days if... Then the jubilant roar of the fellow servicemen finally home from Europe crescendoed throughout the cavernous Grand Central Station, drowning out Ben's voice. Then I'm home for good, is all the rest that Sarah caught. I love you, baby, Ben shouted into the receiver. See you soon. I love you too, honey. See you soon. Then Sarah sank down at the kitchen table. 3 years worth of worrying, missing, hoping, and holding on, finally released in grateful sobs. She last felt Ben's arms around her on a soft spring day in 1942 as they said their goodbyes before he was shipped overseas to England. They hadn't been married a whole year yet, and he was gone. Out of her sight, out of her reach, but never, never, never out of her heart. 3 years of letters back and forth, of dreams of his return, of whispered prayers that only deepened her love for him. Now he was coming home. I've got to get ready, Sarah suddenly realized. She straightened the already neat home, paid the Thompson boy down the street to come and mow the lawn, restraightened what she had already fixed, and then tore it all apart in a frenzy of spring cleaning. By the middle of the next day, she had finished with that and was set to figuring out what was going to be a proper homecoming meal for Ben. How many ration stamps have I saved up, she wondered aloud. Enough for a chicken dinner? Yes. And a chocolate cake, or at least a small one. Oh, I can hardly wait until tomorrow. The next afternoon, the savory aroma of chicken and homegrown vegetables mingled with the cooling cake. After the 10th appraising look in the mirror and a third change of clothes, Sarah settled into arranging the daffodils that Mrs. Hampton had brought over. There, everything is ready. Now I just need Ben. She smiled softly. 4 hours later, her smile had faded. No Ben. When the clock struck one, Sarah finally went to bed. The next day, she readied the house again. Still no Ben. The following day was the same, as was the day after that. On the sixth day after his phone call, Sarah straightened the house once again, threw out the chicken salad, formerly the chicken dinner, replaced the nodding daffodils with a few blooming roses, and called the Thompson boy again. Hanging up the phone, she turned toward the kitchen to figure out another meal. Then she saw him, still in uniform, hat in hand, silently watching her and smiling and crying. He was home for good. What is the immediate concern on Jesus' mind right now? This is one of those stories that should tug at your heartstrings, the type of story that would make the great ending for a chick flick. But hopefully we're able to see the analogy that was painted by this word picture. If not, just hang in there for a few minutes and it will become clear as I proceed. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 35. Very interesting verse. Luke 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Why? Because at any moment, events could escalate dramatically towards that moment when Jesus Christ will step through the doors of history and return to us for good. As His bride, will we be eagerly waiting for Him? Will He find a ready home and a tender welcome in heart? Or will He return to an empty, rundown house where people grew tired of waiting and moved somewhere else? Where people He loved forgot all about Him? Will He find joy or uneasy surprise? Are we seeing the picture clearly? We need to be ready, brethren. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Who is Jesus speaking to here? Obviously, He's speaking to us, those Spirit-led Christians who are betrothed to Him as His bride. He's telling us to make ourselves ready, to take our eyes off the world and focus on Him. How do we do this? He gave us the answer in this verse. First, He instructed us that we should let our waist be girded. These are the same instructions that He gave to the Israelites as they were preparing for the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt. The long, flowing outer robe had to be tucked into the belt before traveling or working. The idea is they need to be ready in their work clothes, ready to take off, ready to go. Are we ready to go? Are we dressed like that right now, ready to go? Just referring back to, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Secondly, He instructed us to keep our lamps burning. This would mean having a ready supply of oil and staying awake to draw upon this supply. We need only reflect on the parable of the 10 virgins to understand the folly of allowing our lamps to run dry and go out. Continuing on in Luke 12, in verse 36, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Well-to-do householders often had special servants or servants in charge of keeping the door. A Jewish wedding, like I said, could last for a week or more. I didn't do that. So the servants deserved praise for watching and waiting, even through the night and early morning. The image of the master serving his servants was unheard of and would have offended some of the well-to-do. But it served as a very powerful symbol of how Jesus Christ would treat those who remain faithful to the end. Continuing on, verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Jesus is like the thief in the sense that he will break into our world without warning if we are not watching and ready. We have to be ready at all times. And the only way to be ready is to keep ready. What does it mean for us to be ready? Are we to sit around at home anxiously wringing our hands and peering out? I swear there's a little bit of Italian in me. Talking with my hands. Or at least I married an Italian woman. No, he wants us to get out of the house and to do his will in the world. We have responsibilities as Christians, and that is what he expects us to be about. Preparation is an individual responsibility. God doesn't offer us insurance on a group plan. Just as the foolish virgins were responsible for their own lamps, so are we responsible for ours. To whom much is given, much is required. With privilege comes responsibility. God has blessed us with more freedom and grace and knowledge than most people ever dream of having. It's tempting to enjoy our privileges, to neglect our responsibilities, but God wants us to enjoy both. Knowing all that we do about his coming, it can intimidate us. Or it can thrill us and motivate us to get ready. Christ's arrival will come unexpectedly. The waiting virgins heard the shout, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." But by then it was too late. We can see the signs of the times indicating that his return is imminent, just as the foolish virgins knew that the bridegroom would be arriving that night, that very night. But they still didn't know exactly when he would arrive. And they were caught unprepared when he did. Maybe they thought they had enough oil to wait out another hour or two. None of us know for sure when the point at which it is too late to prepare for Christ's return will occur. Any of us could die tonight, and that time would have already arrived. Today is the time to begin preparing for Christ's return, if you haven't already started. Now is the time to make sure our relationship with our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, if, and I mean a really big if here, if He is to know us when He returns. I would dread to have Jesus Christ say to me, face to face, "I don't know you." I'm sure that none of you want to hear that either. Just as the foolish virgins could not borrow oil to make up for their lack of readiness, we just can't slide in to the marriage supper on the coattails of our friends or our relatives. There is no alternative if you're not ready. If you're not ready, there's no other way. If you are found lacking at Christ's return, it won't matter what church organization you belong to, what great deeds you may have performed, or how good your reputation might have been. You won't be permitted to attend the marriage supper. So, brethren, let's put our houses in order. Let's lay out our best china for Him. Let's dress ourselves in the clothes that He longs to see. What clothes? What clothes? The final scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 12, and I'm going to be reading the New International Version. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and yes, patience. The day of Christ draws nearer and nearer. Let's be ready for the day this Feast of Trumpets pictures, when Jesus Christ will return to earth and make His home with us for all eternity. Again, I ask the question, are you prepared?